Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny and owner of My Best Friend Dog Training.
Each week, Karen and I discuss all sorts of issues relating to our favorite companion pet, the dog. We talk about why dogs do the things they do. We discuss their health issues. We talk to breeders and rescuers, and we talk to other dog owners. I sincerely hope that if you are a first-time listener, you'll like us well enough to tune in regularly right here every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 on WNJC 1360 AM. If you've missed any previous shows, you can always go to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com, or you can go to Karen's website at www.mybestfrienddogschool.com to hear our podcasts of the shows we've done before. We've talked about a myriad of subjects that might be of interest to you and your relationship with your dogs. We have a guest this morning, Dr. Sally Foote, a veterinarian who has invented a record-keeping system for tracking what works to help our pets remain calm, happy, and stress-free when they are in their vet's offices. We'll talk to Dr. Foote in just a moment, but please let me tell you what services I offer here in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age, and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Karen, you want to introduce your guest?
Hi. Good morning, Dr. Foote.
Thanks for joining us here
this Thursday in the doghouse. I have a question. I wanted to know how you came up with this specialized record-keeping system and how do you use it in your own practice?
Okay. Well, in my practice, we always had given treats and you know, rewards for primarily the dogs, you know, when they would come in for exams. And over the years, I wanted to find a way to get much more structured with it, you know, in my office, that all of the technicians and everybody would be doing it. And then we would be consistent that for this particular pet, we would know what particular reward treat, you know, work best for this pet.
Right.
To shift them from that maybe apprehensive, a little bit timid or scared, you know, state, whether it, you know, from walking in the door in the waiting room and, you know, going through the entire exam through giving injections, drawing blood, et cetera. And so it was kind of a, I guess you'd say an evolution, you know, is within my office, especially with doing more behavioral consultations and developing the behavioral medicine side of my practice, that we became much more active in doing this, not just for the good patients, but also using this, you know, rewarding as a way to help counter condition or change, you know, the fearful pet to being less upset was kind of the first step, and then, you know, realizing you need to have kind of a choice of rewards because one treat does not work for everybody. And then from that, I saw, okay, we need to know, you know, if for Jack here, that Karen's dog really needs hot dogs, but Renee's dog, Bob, is allergic to hot dogs, we need to keep track of what they can have and how well it works. So I tend to like labels, stickers on my medical record, because it's a very easy way to make it obvious. You see it, organizes my thoughts. So just within my own office, I came up with this, you know, label, and then I said, well, we also have to be able to score this. We have to know how much desire, you know, how motivating is this particular reward for this particular pet, because when it comes to more difficult things, say like drawing their heartworm test or giving an injection or looking at an infected ear, we need to know what is that top, you know, reward for this pet to help keep them calm and cooperative, or, you know, motivate them to cooperate with us. And also, too, I recognize that rewards were more than just food treats. That for some pets, it could be verbal praise. They'll call it jolly talk. That's Dr. Blaine Hunthausen, I think, had coined that phrase. But, you know, kind of that, oh, you're such a good dog. You know, some pets, that's what works better, especially for cats, too, knowing is it rubbing their face or rubbing their head or using the pheromones that we use in the veterinary clinics sometimes, like DAT or feel away. So kind of putting this all together and then putting it together with the scoring system, that's how it came together with the idea of a label. And when the pet first comes in and we're offering these things, we track it, and we put it in a very obvious place in the medical record, what's called a summary sheet. So now every time, say you put your pet, we will be ready with what your pet needs to, you know, when we get to, they're going to automatically offer what they like best or what the best at that point, say in the waiting room, you know, what works best there, maybe saving the super top thing for when we're going to, say, draw his heartworm test or give him his vaccinations. And so that's how it came about. And then from that, I actually made a presentation to this at a veterinary conference, and it ultimately developed into something that I've put out to be able to, you know, provide to other veterinary clinics to market.
Dr. Foote, I have a question. You did this conference with AVSAB, but not everybody is a veterinary behaviorist. So how are the regular vets, just vets in general, able to get your information? Do you send out newsletters to them? Because so many vets just absolutely refuse to use treats or do any of these motivating type of rewards in the office because they say they just don't have the time.
Right. You know, this is definitely a newer trend emerging in veterinary medicine, and like any kind of a new trend, it's kind of, how should I say, kind of slow to start, and you work hard to get the information out. So, you know, I developed the Battle Behavior System and just launched, I think, in March of this year, and I do have a website all veterinarians can go to. I also have a newsletter I have just put out, which actually I'm going to add you to the mailing list, or you can go on my website and sign up, because I've just put out, I think, the first issue now.
Wonderful.
And, you know, I've partnered up with, in a lot of ways, with, like, Dr. Sophia Yin, who's another veterinarian who's published an excellent book, The Low-Stress Handling Techniques in Dogs and Cats, to help get the word out. I've done a webinar through ImproMed. So I guess it's like anything, you know, once you get started in something, it's kind of one by one doing the legwork and then finding those other outlets to get the information out. I am starting to get some articles published in veterinary journals, and I am working closely with some other veterinarian board-certified behaviorists coaching and working together with the ABMA on actually a policy statement. And I think that may take a while. I'm not quite sure where that will go. But anyway, as we can get our other associations, you know, also on board with this, it kind of turns that wheel, you know, more and more. You kind of all work together on it. So I personally think one place where we can really help spread the word more quickly to veterinarians is through a certified trainer such as yourself who use positive handling to you know, get to know better what each of us knows, what each of us sees, you know, like our expertise, and to, you know, just share that information.
Well, I'd be happy
Dr.
to do
Foote,
that.
I have a quick question. Is this written in academia, or can like, the average layperson read it? So, like, would it be effective in shelters as well and rescue groups and fosters and so on and so forth, or is it written in academic terms?
No, absolutely. The way I wrote this purposefully to be for the general practice veterinarian and their lay staff, because our like technicians, receptionists, you know, are the ones who are really doing a lot of the handling of really line people on using this the most. So it's written in a way for shelters, rescues, and I've actually even made kind of a modification on it recently and just launched that as like a pet owner's kit.
Right.
That there's, you know, the instructional booklet that even say you as an individual pet owner can put this with your own, you know, folder to be able to track and score for how am I going to get my dog's ears treated, you know, and him not running around and hiding behind the couch or trying to bite me. How can I, you know, get his nails done in a much less stressful way?
Right.
So I've written it in a way for just the more higher, like, you know, educated maybe pet owner to shelter personnel, veterinary technician, and, of course, veterinarian. I think veterinarian's
right.
going to be able to understand it probably the quickest, of course, but it's not
right.
written, no. It's not just in, like, it's not in a high academic language or that.
Dr. Foote, I have a quick question also.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned DAP, dog appeasing pheromones,
yes.
and there's also a product out there for cats called Fellaway.
Yes.
Can you give us a quick explanation of what those products are? Because I do use DAP products, and I don't think the average listener might even know what that is.
Right. What DAP or DAP? That stands for doggy appeasing pheromone.
Right.
It's a product that's the copycat chemical to the pheromone, or if you want to think of, you know, body chemical, the mother dog makes around her breast to help the puppies calm down and settle when they nurse. But all dogs still keep the receptors in their brain for that chemical. So DAP, which was, you know, made or invented by a French chemist, as a copycat chemical, when in a spray that they wear around their bandana, like a bandana around the neck, and they're inhaling it, or it's in contact with their skin, through the collars, or through the plugins that you put in so that the room is kind of infused with DAP. That DAP goes right to that calming center in the brain of the dog, so it helps them to calm down. It helps to reduce the stress. Now, it's not going to take a dog who is panting and whining and, you know, drooling and highly anxious down to totally calm, but it will help to take that dog who is very anxious to much more relaxed. And what we see in the office then is that then they are able to either accept rewards, which then is how they learn
mm-hmm.
to, you know, that this isn't bad, there's something good in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
So DAP, that's how DAP works and is used. Feel-Away is a different product. Now, Feel-Away is the copycat chemical to the marking pheromones, the marking chemicals in the cat's scent glands from primarily the face area. So for cats, the reason why Feel-Away works to help them to be more calm or, say, reducing urinating around the house is to the cat where Feel-Away is sprayed around the property, it pre-marks. It's like saying, I've already been here. Oh, I know you. This must be good. And so the cat is less upset. So how we use it in the veterinary office is actually we spray it on our own hands. We spray it a little bit on our lab coat or on the blanket, at, you know, towel for the cat may lay on, or we even spray it on a towel and lay it over the carrier so the cat inhales a little bit of it before we even start the exam
mm-hmm.
to help them be more settled. And so that's how these pheromones are actually working on the existing, you know, receptors, like the part of the brain the animal already has, to, like, naturally bring about a more relaxed response. So then they can learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, the something positive with something that used to be pretty scary, like going to the vet.
Right. This, your explanation was excellent, and it's the first time I've really heard such a great explanation for this.
Oh, thank
but I think that you must be one of a kind, because I don't think I've ever gone into a vet's office where they've had any plugins or they've used any of these sprays. I just hope that you can get your word out so that more vets become aware of these products.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, well, what doing programs like this is great, and, you know, you can plug, and I can tell people, go to my website, it's www.drsallyjfoote.com, and then, you know, of course, word of mouth.
Can
so
you,
I think,
and,
you know,
and Foote is spelled F-O-O-T-E.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you repeat your website one more time?
It's www.drsallyjfoote.com.
Oh my, you're breaking up. We're gonna make sure our podcast.
Dr. SallyJFoot.com.
Correct.
And Foot is with an E.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. This has been an excellent interview, and I hope that your word gets out, and maybe sometime we can have you back, Dr. Foot, since you are into behavior. Maybe we can talk about how behavior is affected at the vets and in other areas. I'd love to have you come back.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for giving me this time right now. I truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And Karen, do you have any more questions, or can we take
that's a... That's pretty much it.
Okay.
I just think that this is an excellent program and excellent labeling system, and, you know, it's about time.
Yeah, really.
Well, it's both for the veterinary clinic, and like I said, owners can even take this in their own hands. We do have an owner kit available now, too, so check it out on the website. I welcome any emails, or even if you want to call my office, my staff is very knowledgeable about using this as well.
Wonderful. Thank
Excellent.
You so much,
Thanks
Dr.
Foot.
Thanks
for joining us, Dr. Sally.
Well, thank you for the invitation. This has been wonderful.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right. You have a great day.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's take another short break, and Taryn can then tell you about the many services that she offers her clients in the Keyport, New Jersey area and its environs.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Irini Premeza, and...
I'm Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny,
and
my best friend dog training.
Oh, great. Karen, I want to make sure that we invite people to call in. Can you give out our phone number?
Sure,
in case anybody has any questions.
Okay. It's 856-227-1360.
Okay, let's repeat that.
856-227-1360.
And then you feel free to offer any suggestions to us also if you want to hear certain topics being discussed in weeks to come, or if you're having a problem with your own dog. Karen and I are here to help, and I hope that you'll make use of our program, because it is all about educating you, the dog owning community.
And you can also email Reenie, and you can email me by visiting our websites. You can visit Reenie at www.jerseydogtrainer.com, and you can visit me at www.mybestfrienddogschool.com.
Wonderful. Karen, we have a caller.
All right.
All right. So I believe we have a caller. Pat, can we get our caller on? Hi, this is Reenie and Karen. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good. What is your name, sir?
My name is Richard.
Okay, Richard, do you have a question or a comment?
I actually have a comment and a question.
Okay, glad to hear it.
Okay, I have a 5-year-old German Shepherd. We've been together so long, perfect in every way. But when he goes in the backyard, he eats his own feces and our other dog's feces. So I guess my question is two-part. Why does he do it, and how can I stop it?
Okay. As far as I can tell you, the name of this behavior is called coprophagia, and it is not an uncommon behavior. Not every dog does it, but Karen, do you have other explanations you'd like to offer?
I do. Coprophagia is classified as a psychogenic behavior, which is, it's behavioral, basically. And there's many theories, you know, floating around about out there. How do you stop it? You know, hot sauce, putting hot sauce on it, screaming at the dog, punishing the dog, all kinds of crazy stuff. But in 2008, in the Journal of Applied Companion Animal Behavior, There was a study published by the Department of Biology at the Colorado State University, and they did a study on what works most effectively on this problem. And they did a whole comparison of the treatments that were used and what was most effective. The least effective was ignoring the behavior, using meat tenderizer and those other kinds of aversive techniques, and the most effective was, one, to prevent access to the feces. So if the best thing to do would be to take your dog for a walk, and when he poops, pick it up. Or if you let him out in the yard, you know, go out there with him and pick it up. And also rewarding the dog for the behavior. But it's kind of classified as pica, and pica is eating non-food related items like stones and grass and things that are not really edible. But it is a behavioral issue.
Right.
And there really is no, after they did this study and they tested hundreds of dogs, really the most effective way to curtail this is basic management of the dog.
Right, that's what I thought.
So, you know, it doesn't ever improve. I mean, it's going to always have to be that you're going to be, have to be out there and teaching the dog something else to do. So, I have a dog that has that disorder, and when he poops, the very next thing I'll say is, you want to go for a ride in the car? or do something like that, and he comes bounding towards me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And also,
good,
you know, teaching a reliable leave it.
Right.
But, you know, you got to realize that this is very palatable for them. It tastes great. They
mm-hmm.
love it.
And
so whatever reward you're going to use for them to leave, it has to trump that of the feces.
Hey, Richard, I had several dogs. As a matter of fact, every dog I've ever had except the one I currently have loves to eat horse poop. And I expect it because there's grain in it. And so what they would do is go eat the horse poop, and then they would run over with wiggly waggly tails and want to kiss me on the face. So there's from the extreme to the sublime. But I think that Karen is correct that management is the key. I've worked with some dogs who were so intent on eating poop that any time the only management thing that I could explain to the client, because the dog was so intent about this, was to muzzle the dog when the dog would go out to go potty.
No, I do want to say that there's also a theory out there that's scientifically inaccurate, and that's that the dog eats the poop because it's trying to remove its scent from the area. As like an alpha dog would kind of like be living like the secret life and kind of living a covert existence and trying to prevent others from smelling his scent. It's completely false.
That doesn't sound right to me either.
No.
However, I have heard of dogs that were so severely punished for house training accidents during their puppyhood
mm-hmm.
that in a multiple dog household, the punished dog would try to eat everybody's feces to get rid of the evidence, because if mom and dad would come home and see that there was an accident, the dog didn't want to have to deal with that. So I don't know
I have a question. Are you still
sure.
on the line?
Yes.
You had mentioned that he eats another dog's feces in the home, but my question to you is, does he eat feces of other dogs when you take him out for a walk?
No, it's only in the backyard.
Interesting.
Okay.
You know, the two dogs here.
Interesting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could possibly be related that they eat the same food. That's likely a connection.
What about dietary deficiency? Is there, when you read that article, did you see anything written about dietary deficiency?
You know, they had mentioned some of that, but there is no scientific proof that the reason why, you know, dogs eat is because to make up for mineral loss or anything like that. That
mm-hmm.
that's not what the data analysis revealed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, there's a couple of products that you can get. I do want to mention this because, you know, if you are struggling with this, there have been some treatments that have been successful. You know, it's a shot in the dark. I mean, sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't. One of them is putting pineapple in the food.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That makes the food taste, the feces taste rancid. Another one, they used a couple of, there was a couple of other products that were, and on a scale of 1 to 5, these products ranked around 3. But, you know, punishment worked, you know, ranked around 1.5. So they're not that effective.
Right.
But one of them is called Dieter.
Dieter or Dieter?
Dieter.
Okay.
Dieter.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is Forbid.
Right.
And you could get those at your veterinary office. I mean, it's worth a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to me, I don't really like putting chemicals and things in my dog's food.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that management, I mean, we pretty much know when our dog's going to go outside unless your dog is living outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, just to go out there with him or, you know, spend some time putting something really tasty on the floor like a hamburger or something like that. You know, have him leave it. And then give them something else, you know, as a reward for leaving it. So that way you're using very high value items for him to leave. But you wanna trump it up, maybe give him bacon or, you know, something great, or even allow him to go get the hamburger. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make a game out of it.
Right. Richard,
but what you do is you just need that little bit of time
right.
where you can go and pick it up.
Richard, I have a question for you. When you take your dog out to go potty, is he on the leash or is he free to run anywhere he wants to go?
He's in the backyard quite a bit during the day.
Right.
Yeah, we walk him 3 times a day, and he doesn't do it when we walk him.
Right. It's only in his backyard. But when you take him out for a potty break, in other words, it's not a formal thing where you're actually taking him out to go potty. He potties randomly throughout the day. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah. I think that might be also something that you might want to focus on is actually almost to go back to House Training 101, put the dog's leash on and take him out on schedule. You know, so that you have that leash to bring him away from the area immediately. And like Karen says, and I love her suggestion about making a game of leaving the poop alone and coming to you for a reward or a game or something like that so that he knows something more exciting is going to happen rather than eating poop all the time.
I do want to stress that if my dog goes poop and, you know, I say, oh, you want to go for a ride in the car? You better be taking him for a ride in the car.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You can't be, you know, like one of these people, like, you want a cookie? You want a cookie? And the dog comes in the house and he gets nothing.
Or he gets
an excuse.
After
a while, that'll become a poisoned cue. And a poisoned cue means that it is either meaningless or it has a negative connotation.
One question, Richard. How have you been handling it up till now?
Actually, we've just been trying to keep the backyard as clean as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know. Two people working and everything, it's kind of difficult.
Right. And so the dog is, do you have a doggy door or is he outside all day with your other dog?
I'm at home all day, so I let them out in the backyard and they kind of lay around and just enjoy it.
Right, right.
Okay, well, get some plastic bags.
I have a quick question. Is the pineapple, can it be canned pineapple or does it have to be fresh?
It could be canned, but it has to be canned in its own juices. You don't want to have any extra sugar.
Oh, okay, that's what I was looking for there.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Richard, thank you very much for calling, and I hope you're enjoying
the
program.
Did we answer your question?
Yes, you did.
Oh, great.
I'll start doing it this afternoon.
Okay, great.
Thank you very
much,
Richard.
Thank you.
Call in again anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I do want to remind everybody once again that during our programs, you are welcome to give us a call at any time. Our number is 856-227-1360, and each week we will be inviting callers to ask questions and offer comments.
And also podcasts of the show are available for your listening pleasure at Renee's website, which is www.jerseydogtrainer.com, and they're also available at my website at www.mybestfrienddogschool.com.
Karen,
thank you so much for joining us.
Karen, we have just a few seconds. Do you want to tell them who's coming on next week? Isn't it Dr. Ian Dunbar?
Yeah, Dr. Ian Dunbar is going to be joining us next week.
Yes,
and Dr. Ian Dunbar is the founder of the Association of Pet Dog Trainers and also DogStarDaily.com. He's a veterinary behaviorist, and, you know, I don't even know what we're going to be talking about. I mean,
we'll think of something.
We'll figure something out, but whatever, believe me, it'll be an interesting conversation.
Right.
The guy is just totally entertaining.
Karen, that's you telling us we're out of time. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. I want to thank Dr. Foote for joining us today, and I want to thank Richard for calling in. And we'll look forward to next week, and I hope everybody has a great week. And we'll talk to you later.
Take care, Rainey.
Bye, darling. Talk
to
you later.
Who let the dog?